B1. Task 1. Instructions. You will hear 5 extracts. You will hear each one twice. Answer the following questions 1 to 5 according to what each speaker says. You now have 10 seconds to look at extract 1. Extract 1. What did the woman have for lunch last Friday?
I love eating food with chopsticks, so on Fridays, I usually have a bowl of rice and vegetables. On some Fridays, I buy fresh fish at my local fishmonger's. It's expensive, but worth it. But last Friday, I couldn't be bothered to cook, so I bought a box of takeaway noodles and fish from a Thai restaurant nearby. It was absolutely delicious.
Now, listen to extract 1 again.
I love eating food with chopsticks, so on Fridays, I usually have a bowl of rice and vegetables. On some Fridays, I buy fresh fish at my local fishmonger's. It's expensive, but worth it. But last Friday, I couldn't be bothered to cook, so I bought a box of takeaway noodles and fish from a Thai restaurant nearby. It was absolutely delicious.
You now have 10 seconds to look at extract 2. Extract 2. What does the man regret buying online? Now and again, I shop online because there are amazing bargains. For example, I got a pair of trainers that were heavily discounted, a pair of sunglasses that looked great, and a Bluetooth speaker which looked bigger than it actually was. But I wish I had tried on the trainers before getting them, as they were too big. However, the speaker turned out to be much smaller than I had expected, which is quite convenient, really, and I have no complaints about the sunglasses. Now, listen to extract 2 again. Now and again, I shop online because there are amazing bargains. For example, I got a pair of trainers that were heavily discounted, a pair of sunglasses that looked great, and a Bluetooth speaker which looked bigger than it actually was. But I wish I had tried on the trainers before getting them, as they were too big. However, the speaker turned out to be much smaller than I had expected, which is quite convenient, really, and I have no complaints about the sunglasses. You now have 10 seconds to look at extract 3. Extract 3. How does the woman prefer to get around the city?
You know, now and again, I get around the city on my electric scooter. It's fast and reliable, although I do worry about pedestrians sometimes. I often use the bus in winter because it's really cold for the scooter, and I also use it in the summer because buses have air conditioning. So you could say it's the mode to go to, especially as urban transport. However, I really love riding my bike. It's just that it's not the best mode for the city due to the traffic and pollution.
Now, listen to extract 3 again.
You know, now and again, I get around the city on my electric scooter. It's fast and reliable, although I do worry about pedestrians sometimes. I often use the bus in winter because it's really cold for the scooter, and I also use it in the summer because buses have air conditioning. So you could say it's the mode to go to, especially as urban transport. However, I really love riding my bike. It's just that it's not the best mode for the city due to the traffic and pollution.
You now have 10 seconds to look at extract 4. Extract 4. Which sport is the man going to take up? I used to love water sports, so I would go windsurfing in summer. It was great, but you really need a car to get to the beach. I've also thought about starting to do yoga, but I'm a bit worried about picking up a back injury because I've got a bad back. I really enjoy table tennis. It's a shame that you need someone to play with, so that's why I've decided to join a club and hope I don't injure my wrist or something. Now, listen to extract 4 again. I used to love water sports, so I would go windsurfing in summer. It was great, but you really need a car to get to the beach. I've also thought about starting to do yoga, but I'm a bit worried about picking up a back injury because I've got a bad back. I really enjoy table tennis. It's a shame that you need someone to play with, so that's why I've decided to join a club and hope I don't injure my wrist or something. You now have 10 seconds to look at extract 5. Extract 5. What has the woman bought in the second-hand shop?
Believe it or not, I bought a hat in the sales last week, only to find the exact same one in my local second-hand shop at a ridiculous price. That's when I saw a pair of gloves that looked great. They were a bit tight, though. The other option was a cap, which could be useful for when I go jogging in the sun. But it was the gloves that ended up in my shopping basket.
Now, listen to extract 5 again.
Believe it or not, I bought a hat in the sales last week, only to find the exact same one in my local second-hand shop at a ridiculous price. That's when I saw a pair of gloves that looked great. They were a bit tight, though. The other option was a cap, which could be useful for when I go jogging in the sun. But it was the gloves that ended up in my shopping basket.
B1. Task 2.
You will hear Neha Naralu given an introduction to a talk on the future of money.
Instructions. Answer the following questions 6 to 11 according to what the speaker says. You must choose one answer for the three options given for each question. The options may use different words to what the speaker actually says. You now have 1 minute to read the questions.
I want to tell you about the future of money. Let's start with a story about this culture that lived in Micronesia in the early 1900s called the Yap. Now, I want to tell you about the Yap because their form of money is really interesting. They use these limestone discs called Rai stones. Now, the Yap don't actually move these Rai stones around or exchange them the way that we do with our coins because Rai stones can get to be pretty massive. The largest is about 4 tons and 12 feet across. So the Yap just kind of keep track of who owns what part of what stone. Now, there's a story about these sailors that were transporting a stone across the ocean when they ran into some trouble and the stone actually fell in. Now, the sailors got back to the main island and they told everyone what had happened. And everyone decided that actually, yes, the sailors had the stone and why not? It still counted, even though it was at the bottom of the ocean. It was still part of the Yap economy. Now, you might think that this was just a small culture 100 years ago, but things like this happen in the Western world as well, and the Yap actually still use a form of these stones. In 1932, the Bank of France asked the United States to convert their holdings from dollars into gold. But it was too inconvenient to actually think about shipping all of that gold over to Europe. So instead, someone went to where that gold is being stored, and they just labeled it as belonging to France now. And everyone agreed that France owned the gold. It's just like those Rai stones. The point I want to make with these two examples is that there's nothing inherently valuable about a dollar or a stone or a coin. The only reason that these things have any value is because we've all decided that they should. And because we've decided that, they do. Money is about the exchanges and the transactions that we have with each other. Money isn't anything objective. It's about a collective story that we tell each other about value, a collective fiction. And that's a really powerful concept. I want to tell you about the future of money. Let's start with a story about this culture that lived in Micronesia in the early 1900s called the Yap. Now, I want to tell you about the Yap because their form of money is really interesting. They use these limestone discs called Rai stones. Now, the Yap don't actually move these Rai stones around or exchange them the way that we do with our coins because Rai stones can get to be pretty massive. The largest is about 4 tons and 12 feet across. So the Yap just kind of keep track of who owns what part of what stone. Now, there's a story about these sailors that were transporting a stone across the ocean when they ran into some trouble and the stone actually fell in. Now, the sailors got back to the main island and they told everyone what had happened. And everyone decided that actually, yes, the sailors had the stone and why not? It still counted, even though it was at the bottom of the ocean. It was still part of the Yap economy. Now, you might think that this was just a small culture 100 years ago, but things like this happen in the Western world as well, and the Yap actually still use a form of these stones. In 1932, the Bank of France asked the United States to convert their holdings from dollars into gold. But it was too inconvenient to actually think about shipping all of that gold over to Europe. So instead, someone went to where that gold is being stored, and they just labeled it as belonging to France now. And everyone agreed that France owned the gold. It's just like those Rai stones. The point I want to make with these two examples is that there's nothing inherently valuable about a dollar or a stone or a coin. The only reason that these things have any value is because we've all decided that they should. And because we've decided that, they do. Money is about the exchanges and the transactions that we have with each other. Money isn't anything objective. It's about a collective story that we tell each other about value, a collective fiction. And that's a really powerful concept.
B1, Task 3.
You'll hear five teachers giving their opinions about their job. Instructions. Listen carefully and match the statements below, A to F, with the correct
speaker.
The statements may use different words to what the speaker actually says. There is one extra statement. You now have 1 minute to look at the questions. Speaker 1.
My job is wonderful. I love the fact that I get to work with children every day. They inspire me. They energize me. There's nothing more wonderful than when a child gets it and that look on their face. And when those squiggles on a page begin to make sense when they're reading, that aha that they get. And it's wonderful with, especially with grade ones in about April, when you sort of, they have an agenda that they take home every day. So you flip back to September and you say, look at what your printing looked like then. Look at how well you can print now. Can you remember what it was like at the beginning of the year, how hard that was for you? And they just kind of go, wow, I can do this. And that sort of sense of wonder that they bring, and it's just a great age to spend time with. I like short people.
Speaker 2.
I became a teacher because I like answering questions and solving puzzles, and especially teaching a subject like science, you get a lot of, you know, whys and how do things happen, and everything's changed. The size of the classroom has changed. The kids have changed. They're more savvy. They're more technology savvy, and class size is the biggest issue for me. Because I have so many kids I want to talk to and get to know and to help.
Speaker 3.
I'm a teacher because I want to help students move away from formulaic beginnings and endings. I want to empower students with the ability to see patterns, analyze them, and then create their own style. I want to help students develop their own autonomy and values. I'm a teacher because it is an energizing and ever-changing profession. My students, teammates, and colleagues are constantly supporting me and challenging me to become the best person I can be. And together, we make a great team. I teach because there are no perfect endings, but they can be more creative, innovative, and celebrated as a team. The how, or the human connection, is the reason I teach.
Speaker 4.
Well, I had a student who was dyslexic. He told me he was dyslexic. And after doing a lot of testing, we discovered he was absolutely right. But that student learned to read in a way that most people don't. He learned to read by shapes of words. And today, that student, he makes ultralight aircraft. That is his job. This particular person was, you know, had trouble with the law. And that's one of the reasons he ended up in my class. But, you know, it was, I didn't want to label him as being, you know, one of these kids that is just a troublemaker. He wasn't. He actually had so many good qualities. And we saw them. We saw them blossom when he was at our school.
Speaker 5.
I like that every single day in the classroom is different and exciting. But I also think beyond that, and something that's so cool for me is when, after you've established those relationships with the kids, years after the fact, they still stay in touch with you and say, Mr. B, here's what I'm doing now. Mr. B, I'm really loving math. Mr. B, I'm getting married. That's, you can't beat that.
Speaker 1.
My job is wonderful. I love the fact that I get to work with children every day. They inspire me. They energize me. There's nothing more wonderful than when a child gets it and that look on their face. And when those squiggles on a page begin to make sense when they're reading, that aha that they get. And it's wonderful with, especially with grade ones in about April, when you sort of, they have an agenda that they take home every day. So you flip back to September and you say, look at what your printing looked like then. Look at how well you can print now. Can you remember what it was like at the beginning of the year, how hard that was for you? And they just kind of go, wow, I can do this. And that sort of sense of wonder that they bring, and it's just a great age to spend time with. I like short people.
Speaker 2.
I became a teacher because I like answering questions and solving puzzles, and especially teaching a subject like science, you get a lot of, you know, whys and how do things happen, and everything's changed. The size of the classroom has changed. The kids have changed. They're more savvy. They're more technology savvy, and class size is the biggest issue for me. Because I have so many kids I want to talk to and get to know and to help.
Speaker 3.
I'm a teacher because I want to help students move away from formulaic beginnings and endings. I want to empower students with the ability to see patterns, analyze them, and then create their own style. I want to help students develop their own autonomy and values. I'm a teacher because it is an energizing and ever-changing profession. My students, teammates, and colleagues are constantly supporting me and challenging me to become the best person I can be. And together, we make a great team. I teach because there are no perfect endings, but they can be more creative, innovative, and celebrated as a team. The how, or the human connection, is the reason I teach.
Speaker 4.
Well, I had a student who was dyslexic. He told me he was dyslexic, and after doing a lot of testing, we discovered he was absolutely right. But that student learned to read in a way that most people don't. He learned to read by shapes of words, and today that student, he makes ultralight aircraft. That is his job. This particular person had trouble with the law. And that's one of the reasons he ended up in my class. But, you know, it was, I didn't want to label him as being, you know, one of these kids that is just a troublemaker. He wasn't. He actually had so many good qualities. And we saw them. We saw them blossom when he was at our school.
Speaker 5.
I like that every single day in the classroom is different and exciting. But I also think beyond that, and something that's so cool for me is when, after you've established those relationships with the kids, years after the fact, they still stay in touch with you and say, Mr. B, here's what I'm doing now. Mr. B, I'm really loving math. Mr. B, I'm getting married. That's, you can't beat that.
B1, Task 4, Instructions. Complete the sentences 17 to 22 with one option from A, B, or C. The options may use different words to what the speakers actually say. You now have 1 minute to look at the sentences.
Hey, John.
Carol, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Just grabbing a coffee before getting back to work. I've been so busy these days.
Yeah, tell me about it. There are always loads of things to do before the spring break.
The spring holidays. I can't wait. I'm just going to chill out and do nothing else but enjoy my free time. You know, I haven't had a minute for myself since I got promoted.
Really? Don't you have any plans then?
Well, I might go away for the weekend and visit a couple of old friends who live by the beach in Cornwall, but I still have to talk to them and see if they can put me up, you know.
Hey, that sounds great. You know, sometimes it's really necessary to have some quiet time to recharge your batteries. I'm sure it'll do you good.
Yeah, as I said, I've been taking on too much work recently. But what about you? You sound like you've planned something more exciting, haven't you?
You're right, actually. I'm flying to the States next Tuesday. My wife Hannah and I are going to spend the holidays in the Big Apple.
New York City, wow! How come you haven't told me before? I lived there for some years before I came to London. I know everything about that city.
Really? But I thought you came from the West Coast, Los Angeles.
My husband is from LA, yeah, but I come from San Francisco. I lived in New York for 2 years after I finished my master's degree. That's where I got my first job in a law firm. Wow, you're absolutely gonna love it.
I hope so, but hey, any last-minute recommendations?
Have you thought of getting tickets for a basketball game? The season is really interesting, and the Knicks are at the top at the moment.
Well, actually, we were going to get tickets for a baseball match. The Yankees are playing on Saturday, and it would be a very American thing to do, right?
Sounds like a good plan, but baseball games can be very long sometimes. Why don't you go and see a basketball game at Madison Square Garden instead? They're far more entertaining.
Yeah, we've thought about it too, but they say the tickets are incredibly expensive.
Oh, of course they're expensive if you want to see an important game, but the price of the tickets is really affordable, if you know where to get them.
What do you mean?
My friend Tom works at the ticket office and always finds good bargains. I can pass on his number so you can get in touch with him.
That would be great. Thanks a lot, Carol.
No worries. So, what else have you planned?
Well, what about the theatre? Is it worth seeing a Broadway musical?
Definitely. Broadway musicals are really a must-see in New York City. However, in this case, I strongly recommend booking the tickets well in advance, as they're really popular and you don't want to get a bad seat.
Thanks for the advice. My sister told me about those half their price.
Hey, John.
Carol, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Just grabbing a coffee before getting back to work. I've been so busy these days.
Yeah, tell me about it. There are always loads of things to do before the spring break.
The spring holidays. I can't wait. I'm just going to chill out and do nothing else but enjoy my free time. You know, I haven't had a minute for myself since I got promoted.
Really? Don't you have any plans then?
Well, I might go away for the weekend and visit a couple of old friends who live by the beach in Cornwall, but I still have to talk to them and see if they can put me up, you know.
Hey, that sounds great. You know, sometimes it's really necessary to have some quiet time to recharge your batteries. I'm sure it'll do you good.
Yeah, as I said, I've been taking on too much work recently. But what about you? You sound like you've planned something more exciting, haven't you?
You're right, actually. I'm flying to the States next Tuesday. My wife Hannah and I are going to spend the holidays in the Big Apple.
New York City, wow! How come you haven't told me before? I lived there for some years before I came to London. I know everything about that city.
Really? But I thought you came from the West Coast, Los Angeles.
My husband is from LA, yeah, but I come from San Francisco. I lived in New York for 2 years after I finished my master's degree. That's where I got my first job in a law firm. Wow, you're absolutely gonna love it.
I hope so, but hey, any last-minute recommendations?
Have you thought of getting tickets for a basketball game? The season is really interesting, and the Knicks are at the top at the moment.
Well, actually, we were going to get tickets for a baseball match. The Yankees are playing on Saturday, and it would be a very American thing to do, right?
Sounds like a good plan, but baseball games can be very long sometimes. Why don't you go and see a basketball game at Madison Square Garden instead? They're far more entertaining.
Yeah, we've thought about it too, but they say the tickets are incredibly expensive.
Oh, of course they're expensive if you want to see an important game, but the price of the tickets is really affordable, if you know where to get them.
What do you mean?
My friend Tom works at the ticket office and always finds good bargains. I can pass on his number so you can get in touch with him.
That would be great. Thanks a lot, Carol.
No worries. So, what else have you planned?
Well, what about the theatre? Is it worth seeing a Broadway musical?
Definitely. Broadway musicals are really a must-see in New York City. However, in this case, I strongly recommend booking the tickets well in advance, as they're really popular and you don't want to get a bad seat.
Thanks for the advice. My sister told me about those...